Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Monday morning. Monday, May the 1st. Monday, May the 1st, 2023, May Day. How about that? 17 minutes past the hour, 38 degrees and mostly cloudy skies. So apparently here's what we have learned, that April showers bring May showers. That's what we've learned from this morning already. A nice rainy start to the month of May. And apparently some cold temperatures this week, although I'm not trusting the news or the weather very much right now. We were supposed to have this horrible, horrible weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with a lot of rain, and we got some, but there were a lot of moments of very nice weather over the weekend. So I don't really know if I'm all that trusting of the spring weather reports right now, but it is what it is. Well, I got a lot of stuff to bring up here this morning, and so let's just get into it. We're going to do some trivia later on, have some fun here on this first day of May. Why is this called May Day? I'm sure I ask this every year, but why is May the first May Day? Well, what is that? What does that mean? When I hear May Day, I always think of like a distress signal. You know, May Day, May Day, we need help. If anybody knows why it's May Day, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Why is this May Day? Well, I want to start off the morning talking about what I did this past weekend. Now, as many of you know, last weekend I was talking about wanting to go to the first weekend of the Tiffin flea market, the big flea market over in Tiffin, because, as I had kept saying last week, this was something I had wanted to do for 2 years. Now, 2 years ago, I went there, and I still don't know what happened that day. I wish I knew. I had some kind of allergic reaction to something, and just did not feel great that day and had to leave. And then last year, at this particular time, I really could not go anywhere and do the things I wanted to do, so I didn't get a chance to do it last year. So I thought, well, hey, you know what? I'll make sure to do it this year. Well, I had every intention of doing it right up until Friday night. And then I started to look at the weather reports, and I thought, you know, Saturday is not looking great weather-wise, temperature or rain. And then also, somebody came up to me and said, hey, there's some things that can be done in Lima that I know you've wanted to do for a while. And I said, well, okay, you know what? Why don't I just go to Lima on Saturday, and then I'll do the Tiffin Flea Market in May, because I think their next dates are, I think, the weekend before Memorial Day. And I figure by that point, less chance of rain, less chance of bad temperatures, and I'll just go do that event in May, which sounds fine to me. So what I ended up doing was going over to Lima. And by the way, the pictures are up on Facebook. I always take these pictures so I can bring back what I did in these particular places. So if you want to see them, they're on my Facebook page. I know a lot of people do like to look at them. I'm sure some people don't like to look at them. But Saturday ended up being a full day. Got picked up Saturday morning, little after 10 o'clock, and of course went over and got a large diet soda from McDonald's, as well as scrambled eggs and sausage, which is one of my favorite breakfast meals, and I have not had that for quite a while. And you know, McDonald's does a great job with that, and it's a very inexpensive meal, so that's a good place to go. So we started there on Saturday morning. Then we headed over to Lima. Now, when we first got to Lima, we did go to a cemetery. Because as many people know, I have been trying to visit for several years now the graves of all these famous Ohio broadcasters. I've been to Flippo the Clown's grave, Madge Cooper's grave, Sally Flowers' grave, Dorothy Fulltime's grave, and Easter Straker was a famous broadcaster over in the Lima area. And I thought, well, hey, I'll finally get to stop by and visit her grave. And online, it tells you where her grave is. It's like Section 3, and it tells the plot in the cemetery. And I'm telling you, I went in this cemetery, and I probably walked this thing for an hour with the person I was with. And it was kind of warm that morning, which, again, the weather was a completely opposite of what it was supposed to be this past weekend. Probably walked this cemetery for an hour, which was nice because it was nice to be outside and it was nice, the weather was nice. But, you know, not being able to find this tombstone drove me nuts. And there was nobody to ask. And the thing of it was, I've never had that issue before. I've always been able to find the tombstones of these people. Never had to ask anybody in a cemetery where it was. But I'll tell you, this past weekend, I needed help in that cemetery finding the grave of Easter Straker. So I never did find it, but I got well acquainted with that particular cemetery. Then the person I was with was talking to me, and I said, you know what? Phyllis Diller was from Lima. And, you know, I had Phyllis Diller on this show many, 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 many times. Now, I knew that Phyllis Diller was cremated and not buried in Lima, but I know her parents lived in Lima all their life. So I thought, well, you know what? I wonder if Phyllis Diller's parents are buried here in Lima. Now, their last name was Driver. Her married name was Diller. So I looked this up, and yes, her parents were buried in Lima. So we had a little bit of time to kill before we had to go do our first things. And I said, okay, let's go out and see if we can find Phyllis Diller's parents' grave. And I'll tell you, this was fascinating because this was an old Catholic cemetery out kind of in the middle of nowhere. The Easter Straker Cemetery was right in town. But this cemetery, this old Catholic cemetery, which who knows how long it had been there, probably 300 years, was way out in the middle of nowhere in Lima, out in the fields of Lima. So we went out into the fields of Lima, and again, because of the outlay of the cemetery, did not find their tombstone. Again, because there were no sections or anything like that to go by, but did not find Phyllis Diller's parents' graves. But here's what was fun. You know, with every kind of downturn, there's an upturn. It was fun to go to these places. Not that I enjoy walking around cemeteries all that much, but it was fun to see the history in these places. You know, the cemetery that Easter Straker's in is a half mausoleum, half cemetery. Very fascinating. And then St. Mary's cemetery, our old Catholic cemetery, was very fascinating. Just got a message that says, it sounds like you're doing cemetery reviews. Well, yeah, that's where it started on Saturday, but it was nice to be outside doing something. But so we did the cemetery tour, and that was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you something about this trip. Now, about 3 years ago, I can't believe it's almost been 3 years, but 3 years ago, I went and did a lot of this stuff in Lima before, but the problem was, the only reason this trip was a lot more interesting than the last one, and the reason I enjoyed this one better, was because the last time I was there was at the height of the pandemic. It was probably late 2020. Everybody had to wear a mask, and certain things were closed. You couldn't go into certain restaurants. You couldn't go into certain museums. Certain displays were not up. So when I went there before, even though it was fun, it was a different experience because of the pandemic. And now, of course, all the pandemic restrictions have been lifted. So, after we did the little cemetery tour to kick off the morning, I went over to Cupie's. Now, this Cupie's is a diner, if you don't know, in Lima, Ohio, that has been there since 1928. 95 years. I about did that on Saturday, too. 105 years. Been there for 95 years. Cupie's Hamburgers. And they have one of the neatest operations in downtown on Market Street. And the interesting thing was, when I was there back in 2020, Cupie's was open, but you could not eat inside because of the pandemic. They weren't allowing people to eat inside. And that's kind of the mystique of a diner, especially a diner from 1928. You want to go inside. They've got all these Cupie dolls inside and the old tables and the whole thing. So finally, after 3 years, I was able to go back to Lima and go to Cupie's and get their signature meal, which is a cheeseburger, fries, and a malt. And by the way, a malt is a Frosty. Now, we've had a big question about this on this show. Is a malt a Frosty? Well, at Cupie's, they call it a malt. And it tastes just like a Frosty. Although at Cupie's, they give you a lot more, and they put that whip on the top. And by the way, the food prices at Cupie's are not very expensive, which is maybe why it has stayed so popular over the years. So we went to Cupie's, had a great lunch, and to sit inside totally changes the perspective of going to Cupie's. You know, you got these gigantic Cupie dolls on the walls. You got these pictures dating back to 1928, 95 years. It's just something different about going inside than sitting in the car eating the food, which is what had to be done back in 2020 when we went over to Lima. So, enjoyed that on Saturday. Then we went from Cupie's down to the Allen County Museum. Now, this was another problem I had in 2020. There is a display of broadcasting memorabilia at the Allen County Museum because of WLIO television being in Lima, an NBC affiliate, which is kind of unique to begin with, because WLIO, an NBC affiliate in a town the size of Lima, is just unique in and of itself. So we went into the museum, and the big item that draws people into the museum is something called the birthday chair. Now, here's what the birthday chair is. It's a big chair with steps on it and a hippopotamus on the back. And what used to happen, there was a program hosted by a lady named Easter Straker, started with her this morning, the cemetery tour. She hosted a show on television for about 30 years over in Lima called Easter's Parade, kind of an afternoon talk show, kind of like Oprah before Oprah. And here was the idea behind the birthday chair. On a kid's birthday, he could come on television and he would climb up on the birthday chair and he would get his picture taken with Easter and he would reach into the penny jar and he would pull out a handful of pennies. Now, you got to remember, this is the 60s, 70s, and 80s that this is going on. But that's basically what the birthday chair was all about. And Easter Straker had a lot of great guests on her program. Eleanor Roosevelt, the Three Stooges, Phyllis Diller, a lot of famous people. So it wasn't just a local show. It also had a lot of national flair to it. And Easter was on through the early 1980s, I believe, over in Lima. Well, anyway, when her show went off the air, the Allen County Museum said, "Can we have the birthday chair?" So many kids have sat in this chair over the years on television, and it's become an iconic part of the city. We would really like to have the birthday chair down at the Allen County Museum. Okay. Well, back in 2020, when I went over to the Allen County Museum, the birthday chair was not on display because it is made of some cloth. And at that time, because of the pandemic, they thought that they would have to wash the chair and it might damage the chair. And So they did not even have it on display. They had it locked up. So I could not see the birthday chair when I was there back in 2020. Well, guess what? It's back on full display over in Lima with a whole lot of other neat stuff. Old televisions, old radios. A matter of fact, an old WLIO camera, probably from the 1950s. So, got to see the birthday chair. Now, I had talked to the people at the museum, and I guess this is kind of why we went over early, or went over this Saturday, other than going to the Tiffin Flea Market. They had said, if you want to come over this Saturday, you can do a little interview in front of the birthday chair. And I only wanted to do something that was like 10 minutes, you know, a little video, talk about the birthday chair, so on and so forth. So here's what happened. We go into the Allen County Museum, and the people there are just fine. They say, yep, go back there. You can do whatever you want. So it's Saturday, and tours are going on. And there's a lady who's conducting, an older lady, conducting a tour of the Allen County Museum. And this older lady stopped and talked and to me and the person I was with, and they said, hey, you know, this chair was very popular. I remember when Easter was on television. Kids used to sit in it all the time. It's a popular item here, so on and so forth. And then she went on conducting her tour. Now, the tour she was conducting was made up mostly of some parents and a lot of little kids who have no idea who Easter Stryker was or what the birthday chair was. So I'm in the room with the birthday chair, which is one of the big rooms there at the Allen County Museum. And I take off the shirt that I have on, and I put on the sports coat, you know, for video purposes. And I go over to the birthday chair, and in the big television camera, the old 1950s television camera, and I start to tell the story of the birthday chair and Easter Stryker to the camera. And of course, when you're doing something like that, you talk to the camera because you need to be heard with the microphone. And also, you just want the video to turn out well. So I'm doing this bit with the birthday chair, and I notice at one point I'm describing the birthday chair and I'm looking at the camera, and I can feel that people are watching me. You know, have you ever just got that feeling when eyeballs are on you? Well, I was getting that feeling. And a matter of fact, one of the other people who was with me clearly knew what was going on. They could see that these people were watching me. So here I am describing the birthday chair, talking to the camera, and all these little kids and the tour guide were standing in the doorway watching me do this. And, you know, I'll tell you, it was a little bit of pressure to get it right, but got it right, and everybody was happy. And what was interesting was when it was over, I noticed that the room that they were in, the tour, had a door on the other side of the room that they could have gotten out. So I don't know why they just didn't go that way. I don't know why they tried to come back the way that we were. I don't know. I don't really know why it happened, but I'm glad I could entertain the kids and the lady who was conducting the tour and tell a lot about the birthday chair. And we'll have that 10 minutes of video online at some point, and you can see the birthday chair and all of the stories that go along with it. Then from there, we did something kind of unexpected. We went over to WLIO Television, which is that NBC affiliate in Lima. So we went over to WLIO, and it's such a unique place because it looks like a converted house, which I guess converting old houses into broadcast facilities is nothing new because WLIO Television did that many years ago. So we go over to WLIO and take a look outside, and of course it's a Saturday, and we notice that there are a whole lot of cars in the parking lot. Well, it's an operational television station. You know, people are doing news broadcasts on Saturday. So I call up WLIO, and I say, hey, would it be possible? I called the newsroom, not the operator. I said, hey, would it be possible to come in the studio and see where Easter Stryker did her show? And the guy said, fine, come to the back door. So we go to the back door. We come in. It's a really interesting, if you've never been through a newsroom of a television station, fully operational television station, it's very fascinating. So we go through this, and he takes us into the main studio. And, you know, television stations are always looking for people who have some kind of broadcast experience. And somehow it got to the idea where I would sit behind the desk and do a little bit of an audition there at WLIO, which I had no idea or preparation that I was going to be doing. And I sat down behind the main desk there, and they flipped the lights on. And you know what? It was actually fun. I felt totally comfortable doing that. It was easy. I don't know why. It wasn't nerve-wracking at all or anything. Maybe if I had known that that was going to happen, I would have been a little more nervous to be on the set and doing that sort of thing. But it was nothing. No problem at all. And we got some pictures of me on the set there, which are online. And it was just a really, really, really good time. So then we left WLIO after the audition and tour of the newsroom. And we decide, okay, well, let's head back to Marion now. I think we've done everything here in Lima we need to do. We headed back to Marion, and on the way back, we passed the quarry. And the people I was with, I guess, had really never been to the quarry. I don't think they'd ever been to the quarry, to be honest with you. And I was at the quarry a couple times last year, and I said, well, let's go to the quarry. We've got time here. So we stopped out at the quarry, and I went on some of the trails. Because last year when I went, I was really not fully recovered from the illness I dealt with last year. So I really was not going on any trails. Well, I felt perfectly fine Saturday to go on the trails. So I get back, you know, there are a lot of trails out at the quarry. If you really like nature and you really want to go on trails and you want to have a good time, the quarry is a good place to go. So I'm going on this trail, and at one point, the person walking behind me, now, everybody's got a phone now, and apparently they realized that I was kind of all tied up in a tree. I shouldn't even say tied up in a tree. I guess I was just, everything was getting narrower. The trees were getting closer together. The path was getting narrower, and there were just branches and greenery everywhere where I was. And apparently, I was highly interested in where I was going. And I am, because going on those trails, that's interesting to me, to see what's back there. So, or where it pops out at. So at one point, the person said, turn around. So I turn around, and they snapped a picture of me back on this trail. Now, if you go to Facebook, you'll see this picture, which is me certainly not posing for anything, and there are just leaves and trees and all kinds of things there. I don't know what trail I was on. I think it had a name, but I was out in the wilderness on Saturday afternoon, but had a lot of fun doing it, although I was worried about the rain, because at that point, it did look like the skies were getting a little overcast, and it didn't rain, so turned out good, but the trail was fun. Then, after that, after we got out of the trails at the quarry, we decided to go over to the big quarry itself where all the water is. And, of course, as I've said, I take these pictures to kind of document where I have been over the weekend and what I'm doing. So somebody said, well, get a picture in front of the water there at the quarry. I said, okay, I'll do that. Well, there's no place to sit at the quarry except picnic tables, shelter houses, which are actually up too far away to get a picture of any of the water. But there was a tree that had fallen down that I felt, well, I'll just sit on this tree and get a picture taken, which I did. And nothing happened. You know, the log obviously didn't break or move or anything like that. But I'll tell you something. Here this quarry is in Marion, and it's a very, very, very serene place. And I'm looking at that picture right now because I'm trying to recount everything we did this past weekend. And, you know, the quarry is a place, if you have your fishing license, or you like to go on trails, or you just like nature in general, it's a fun place to go. It's just, the water's nice, it's peaceful, it's serene. And after being in town all day, which I liked, being in Lima, I like that. There was nothing wrong with it. It was just so nice to go out to the quarry, sit in front of the water, listen to the water, and just have an enjoyable afternoon. So that's where we ended up. Went to the quarry. Well, now it's probably a little past dinner time. So after we went to the quarry, Stewart's Root Beer is just up the way. And I thought, well, you know, we ate at Cupie's for lunch, which is the 1928 diner. I thought, hey, well, I think the only place I know older than Cupie's by a couple years is Stewart's Root Beer here in Marion. And I had not been there since their opening day. So I went down to Stewart's, and Michelle was there. And I had not seen Michelle since opening day, you know, the owner of Stewart's, friend. And she was just sitting behind the counter, so I came in, and we basically kind of had dinner with her. Root beer float. I had a root beer float, a root beer, a shredded chicken sandwich, and fries, which is normally what I get there, the curly fries. And we probably sat there for an hour, hour and a half, just laughing and having a good time talking, because I hadn't had a chance to do that with her in a long, long time. Now, I will say that I was making fun of somebody, but I was only doing it in fun because the girl behind the counter kept laughing at the things I was saying. So they must have knew the person I was talking about. But it was just, you know, going to a restaurant and having a good meal is one thing, which I always do when I go to Stewart's. But going to a restaurant and just having a good time like that really makes a day. So I didn't get home Saturday night until probably almost 8 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock, had to go out, do my walk, posted the pictures up so people knew what was going on that day, and just really looked back on the day and thought, wow, did I have a lot of fun. And you know what the thing is about all this? For over a year, I could not do anything like this. Last summer, really from last March until the end of the year, I really couldn't do anything like this. And then it's been bad weather most of this year, so I haven't been able to go out and do anything. So these trips, the last few weeks, to Upper Sandusky, to the cemeteries here in Marion, Gypsy Queen, Harding Memorial, all that stuff, going to Lima and redoing that trip and getting everything done that I wanted to do. It's just been so much fun. The quarry. I should have been doing these things earlier. There were reasons I wasn't, but boy, oh boy, I'm having a lot of fun these days. And I've got some other big things on my agenda coming up as the weather gets warmer now that we're into May. I certainly, again, want to do the Tiffin Flea Market coming up, I think, the weekend before Memorial Day. And I also have got to get back to Put-in Bay. I did not get a chance to go to Put-in Bay at all last year. I went twice in, was it twice in 2021? I know I went at least once in 2021, and I think I went once in 2020. Maybe it was once in 2020 and twice in 2021, but I love Put-in Bay. They've got a lot of good trails, too, that I have never had a chance to go on, because when I've been there, I've been doing other things. But got to get to Put-in Bay, and hopefully I'll be able to do that before the end of this month as well. Okay, so that was Saturday. Had a great time, and the company was great. You know, when you take people who are interested in what's going on and having a good time and also like to do stuff like that, it just makes the day go by faster. And so everything was fun on Saturday. Now, Sunday, I was getting ready for work yesterday, and I had the television on, and I just kind of had it half on. And the CBS Sunday Morning Show was on, and they had Michael J. Fox on there. And you know, he's been dealing with Parkinson's now for 31 years, and he was advertising a new documentary that he's going to be in called Still, S-T-I-L-L. And he was talking about how he's had this illness for 31 years, and how at this point, unfortunately, it's really taking over on him. He talked about how it was getting worse every day, and just horribly unfortunate, because it's an incurable illness. But the point of this interview that is so great, and I shared this with so many people yesterday, I even shared it on Facebook. At the very end of the interview, and like I say, I was only half listening to this thing, he said something that I thought was fascinating. He said, with gratitude, optimism is sustainable. With gratitude, optimism is sustainable. Now, think about that. Now, I've been accused in my life of being overly optimistic and overly positive. And probably I am. I always think tomorrow's going to be a better day. But that says it. Here's this man with Parkinson's, which is not going to get any better. And he's kind of at the end of the road with it, being 61 years old. But he's saying that if you have something grateful in your life, that you can always be optimistic no matter what the situation. Now think about that, because optimism is really the driver in life that makes you happy. It's you want to do tomorrow. You want to be there tomorrow. You want to enjoy tomorrow. And I love this quote. There are very few quotes in life that I will ever memorize or understand fully, but this is one of them. With gratitude, optimism is sustainable. Michael J. Fox. Be grateful for something in your life, and optimism is always a possibility, no matter what the situation. Now, let's see. What else is in the hopper here this morning? Oh, I know there were some other things that I wanted to talk about here. Okay, Friday. Friday, all morning, I had this big, long conversation on Friday morning about me writing a book. This even carried into Friday night's show. Okay, I told people last Friday for the first time that I really have been writing a book, not necessarily for myself, but if something ever happened to me, I just wanted to leave these stories and observations around of things that I went through, about the people who've been in my life. You know, people personally who've been in my life, people nationally who've been in my life, and people statewide who've been in my life. And I said the problem I was running into was I did not want to say anything negative about anybody, but if I left all the negative stuff out, then it probably is not a true story. The book would not be true if I left the negative stuff out. Well, here's what I decided over the weekend, because I heard a lot of people's opinions about this, and I went back. I didn't read everything I had written, but I read some of it, and I went back and I thought, you know, the stuff I'm saying is really not negative at all. It's just stories. You know, it's not, nobody has really come off negative. So I guess what I have decided is that if it gets to a point where I have to say something negative about somebody, I probably just won't do it. Now, I hopefully that doesn't make the story false, but, you know, I don't want to be negative to anybody. I'm having a great time in life. I'm enjoying everything going on right now. I don't have any issues at this particular point. Last year at this time was a completely different story, completely different situation, and you know, I just don't want to be negative to anybody. I don't have any anger for anybody, so you know, I think at this point I would probably just leave anything I thought was particularly negative or going to damage somebody. I think I would just leave that out. I don't see the necessity to do something like that. I think that it's just not necessary. Oh, and by the way, something else I wanted to mention about the Michael J. Fox thing, when his new documentary comes out Still, which I can't wait to see this. You know, he's gone through this illness for 31 years. 31 years he's went through this illness. Now, let me tell you something. It is tough to be around somebody who's going through something like that. And he's got his wife, he's got his kids, he's got his coworkers. And I think in a way that helps. And it's funny because a lot of people can't deal with sickness. Now, nobody's ever going to say that I got away from that person because they were ill. Nobody's ever going to say that because that sounds kind of bad. But if you can track back your problems to when you were not feeling well, there's probably some correlation there. Not that somebody's going to admit that, again, because that doesn't sound very good. But just God bless those people in Michael J. Fox's life, his wife of I think well over 40 years now, his kids, his coworkers, for sticking by him, because I think that is also something you end up being grateful for. And again, with gratitude, optimism is sustainable. So there you go. And I've got a lot of great people in my life. So maybe that was part of what happened in my particular situation last year. I just had a lot of gratitude. So I was always able to remain optimistic. But it's tough. It's tough to stick in there when things are not going like they were. Disease and illness can throw a big monkey wrench into your life. No doubt about it. Well, like I said, there was a year, basically, where I could not do anything that I normally like to do. And maybe that's why I'm so excited and enjoying being back out doing it. Okay, we've got 7 minutes left this hour. There are a few other things I wanted to get in here. Okay. Well, I did get a note over the weekend. Apparently, a lot of people who are in political races listen to this show. I'm not going to say anything more than that, but I'm happy that people do listen to this show because we had our little dust-up last week with Sue McGowan and Bill Collins, which made the newspaper and kind of went all over the place. And I heard about that from a ton of people last week. And it's nice to know that people do listen to this show and consider it a news show. And I very much appreciate that. Now, you know what's funny? I know what that note. I made a note on here, and then I thought, what in the world is that note about? And I'll come back to that in a second. Now, here's something else I wanted to talk about. And hopefully I can get this in 6 minutes. Now, the funny thing is, as many of you know, for many, many years, I have talked on this show about marriage and about how I've never been married. And I think for most people, marriage is not the greatest thing. I think there's a cycle when it comes to marriage. I think when you meet the person, everything's great, everything's happy, everything's new, and it's exciting. Okay. And then I think you start planning the wedding. There's a proposal, and that's a big moment. And people are congratulating you, and isn't that great, and so on and so forth. And then you're planning the wedding, and that takes up a whole bunch of time, and that's exciting. And then you have the wedding, and that's a big day. And then you go off on your honeymoon, and that's a big thing. And then you come back home, and you got to deal with each other. And then, you know, give it anywhere between 3 and 10 years, and a lot of times those weddings are our marriages end. And that's just kind of how I've always seen marriage and one of the reasons I never wanted to be married. And I always have said in my life, I don't know. There were times where I thought, well, maybe that person would be somebody I'd like to marry. But by the end, I always thought, well, thank God I didn't marry them because look what that turned into. In any event, the reason I'm bringing this up this morning is, at one point in my life, I was engaged. Now, I have brought this up before. Now, it is true, and people might not believe this, but I did not know I was engaged. I did not get down on one knee. I did not propose. I did not buy a ring, and I did not set up an engagement. I was at a party one time, and the person I was dating at that time got up and said, hey, I want to make an announcement. Scott and I are engaged. And trust me, the announcement came as shockingly to me as it did to anybody else. So this is one of those things in life that I've never been able to do. I've never been engaged. Well, I guess I was engaged. I just didn't know it. But I've never had an engagement on my own. Well, I'm not saying that I'm getting engaged. Now, let me just make that very clear. Because I think people will hear this and they will mishear what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I think, now I could misread this because I'm not the marrying type of person. But in the last month, people have come back into my life that have not been around for a while. And also some new people have come into my life as well. And for some reason, things are just working much better than they were when I knew these people heretofore, having a lot of fun with them. Now, I think, I don't want to screw this up because, again, I was engaged once and didn't even know it. Now, I got and I may be wrong about this. Maybe I just misread it. I think that over the weekend, I got a proposal. Now, it's interesting that the girl would propose to the guy. So maybe that's why I'm confused about this whole thing. But now here's my dilemma on the whole thing. First of all, I maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. If I told you what happened, you would probably say, yes, it was. But, you know, I'm paranoid because I don't want to be the person who says, oh, an engagement happened when it maybe did not. In any event, I'm saying all that to say this. I did not give any answers on this. I kind of ducked the question, which is probably a bad thing to do when somebody, you know, puts it out there like that. But I don't know, you know, and even talking about it here is interesting, but I talk about everything else here, so why not bring it up? I don't know about being engaged. Now, the person is very, very, very nice. I like the person. But to be honest with you, you know, I've spoke so badly about marriage for so long and talked about the engagement where I didn't know I was engaged. I have no idea. I don't know. You know, this is going to take some planning and some thought to see what's going to happen here. But trust me, I was as shocked as anybody else that proposal came up. And I'm not saying it's a done deal at all. But it's been a month. Let me tell you, the month of April was one of the most interesting months I ever could have imagined in my life. If I would have went back to April 1st and thought about what was going to happen between April 1st and April 30th, I could have not written it, to be honest with you. Now, I'm coming up on a break here. We are going to do some trivia. There's a few other things I want to talk about here this morning. But that's the news from this past weekend. And hopefully we'll have some more interesting things to talk about on the other side of this break and get your opinion. 740-751-4038. Back in 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
Can you still recite Shakespeare?
Yes, methinks I am a prophet, you inspired, and thus expiring to foretell of him. His rash, fair, blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fire soon burn out themselves. Like vanity, insatiate cormorant, consuming means soon preys upon the soul, and go on and on, this royal throne of kings, this sceptred isle, this earth of Mars. Yes, I did Shakespeare, and I retained the dialogue.
To Emmy Award-winning